This is WBUR's Morning Edition. I'm Bob Oakes. The field of Democrats hoping to unseat incumbent U.S. Senator Scott Brown has added a new contender this morning. After months of speculation, Harvard Law professor Elizabeth Warren is jumping into the race. She joins us now from the campaign trail on her first day on the campaign trail. Good morning, Professor Warren, and thank you very much for speaking to Morning Edition.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to talk with you.
First question is this. Why are you doing this? After you left the political cauldron of Washington, D.C., why are you choosing to jump into the political fire, the campaign trail here in Massachusetts?
Well, for me, it's all about middle-class families. You know, for a generation now, the middle class has been squeezed, chipped at, hammered. And it seems to me nobody in Washington really gets it. Washington is well-wired for big corporations that can hire armies of lobbyists, but it's not working very well for middle-class families, and that's what I care about.
You've been trekking across the state in recent weeks, meeting with people in kitchens and living rooms, so to speak. How many people did you actually meet, do you think? And I ask this question because some analysts have said your name recognition could be a problem for you.
Well, I met lots and lots of people. I'm afraid that's not a very good number. I don't know the exact number. But, you know, what it takes for name recognition or anything else is just to get out there and meet a whole lot more people. We've got 14 months before there's an election, and I'll tell you, I will work my heart out for this. This is something I care about. This is something I grew up on the ragged edge of the middle class, and I've spent my whole life working for middle-class families. So you better believe over the next 14 months, I'll be out there meeting every single person in the Commonwealth that I can.
What did you learn? What have you learned so far from these conversations?
Well, I've learned how people really do feel like there's no one in Washington on their side, that they're not the ones who are representing. You know, a company like General Electric pays nothing in taxes, and yet we're talking about saying to college students, hey, you've got to load up on more debt just to finish your education, or saying to seniors, you need to learn to live on less. I think they really do feel like, you know, whose side is Washington on? It's important that we have a Washington that's on our side, not on the side of those who are already rich and already powerful.
Can I ask about your style? One New York Times headline recently called you the scourge of Wall Street. Do you think the scourge approach will win over voters? Do you plan on being the scourge of the Senate?
You know, I just plan on doing what I've always done, and that is I speak out, I tell the truth as best I can understand it, and there it is. And whoever gets thwacked by it, well, so be it. Because somebody's got to stand up for these families. Somebody's got to stand up for something that makes sense here. We can't continue a game where people smile politely, but the real power is all being exercised by the lobbyists and the deals done that are, way too complicated to talk about. I'm afraid here I am what I am, and that's not going to change in the middle of some political campaign.
You want to unseat the incumbent U.S. Senator Scott Brown, but first, of course, you have to defeat your fellow Democrats before you can take on Brown. What sets you apart from the many other big Democrats and Democrats people are excited about in this race?
You know, there are good people who are running for the Democratic nomination, and they care about public service, and I applaud each and every one of them. I'm just going to get out there and talk about what I think is important. I'm basically going to keep on doing what I've done all along, talking about middle-class families, talking about ways we can make things better, and when necessary, trying to throw my body in front of a bus to stop bad things when that's what's proposed. So for me, same thing I've been doing.
Let me ask you about a couple of issues, if I might. The jobs bill. The GOP calls the president's jobs bill more of the president's failed stimulus. What's your view? And if you were up on Capitol Hill right now, what would you say to your GOP colleagues to convince them to pass this bill or at least parts of it?
You know, we really need to do something on jobs. This notion that we're all going to sit around on our hands and say, gee, that isn't exactly the jobs bill I would have designed. So I'm going to let thousands of people, hundreds of thousands of people just stay out of work. I just really can't believe this attitude. What is important is that we need to start making changes to get jobs and get them now. And more importantly, we need to start making the kind of changes that rebuild this country so that we have jobs over a much longer arc. So,
for example, what do you mean by that?
Look at it this way. If we really want to be a country that manufactures things and sells them to the rest of the world, then we need the right pieces in place. We need a well-educated workforce. We need renewable energy, which over the long run will make it cheaper for us to produce our goods. We need roads and bridges that work. We need a water system that is not antiquated. In other words, we have to make the decision that we're investing in our future. That's how we built the middle class to begin with. That's how we can rebuild the middle class. We create the right conditions so that we will be able to make things, so we'll be able to sell them, so we'll be able to prosper and have good jobs, not just 6 months of jobs supported by the government, but good jobs that we can put together over the long haul.
One more question. This is sure to be a very volatile issue next week in New York at the United Nations. The Palestinians saying they're frustrated after years of off-and-on negotiations with Israel are going to the UN next week, preparing to ask for statehood at the UN. Should the Palestinians be granted statehood?
You know, it seems pretty clear to me that unilateral action is not going to get us peace in the Middle East. What we need is both parties sitting down to the negotiating table and working out something that's going to provide security for Israel and make that region work. The idea that the Palestinians are going to go off on their own and somehow advance peace through the United Nations, I just think is very unrealistic.
As you campaign around the Commonwealth today, meeting voters, what is it you want voters to learn most about you?
Oh, I guess I want to give them a chance to look me in the eye and understand who I am. I came from a pretty scrappy background. I've worked hard all my life. I started babysitting at 9 and waiting tables at 13 and married at 19 and started teaching public school, had a baby at 22. I want them to know where I come from, because at the end of the day, this is about understanding people and understanding people's hearts. I am doing what I'm doing because all the way down, I care about it. And I care about the families, and I care about what we are doing in Washington that's not good for them. And I want to speak out about that.
Elizabeth Warren, thank you very much for speaking with us this morning. We appreciate it.
Thank you for inviting me to do this. It was fun.
Democrat Elizabeth Warren officially joins the U.S. Senate race in Massachusetts this morning. Shortly, she'll be greeting commuters in Boston and then will travel around the state greeting voters elsewhere. In recent years, Elizabeth Warren has gained national prominence, first as the lead watchdog of the bank bailout and later as the architect of the Federal Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. Now, after doing battle inside the Beltway, Warren is back in Massachusetts gearing up for a very different fight. But what's not well known is how she arrived at this point in her career. WBUR's Sean Bowditch has this profile.